Today's shiur is Daf Samach Gimel in Masechta Pesachim, and we're going to begin on Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Just to review, we know that our Reilim, people who do not have a Bris Milah, are disqualified from eating the Korban Pesach. We've also been discussing that if the Korban Pesach is brought with the intention that our Reilim should eat from it, the Korban Pesach is disqualified. We've been speaking about when there's a mixed machshava of bringing it both for Arelim, people who did not have a Bris Milah, and Mulim, somebody who had a Bris Milah. So till now we've been understanding that in a situation of a mixed machshava, the Korban is kosher. Teaches us the Gemara Braisa. Tanya Cherem Oimrim, Higdim Mulim La Reilim. If the person first intended that Mulim should eat the Korban, and then he intended a Reilim should eat it, the Korban is kosher. However, a Reilim La Mulim, if he first thought about a Reilim, and then he thought about a Mulim, it's possible. Ask the Gemara, Maishna a Mulim La Reilim the kosher? Why, if he thought about Mulim before a Reilim, is the Korban kosher? The Kula Arla Be'inan, in order for the Korban to be disqualified, you have to have a pure machshava about a Arla Veleka, because you're thinking about Mulim also. Ask the Gemara, so even a Reilim La Mulim, even if you proceed thinking about the Reilim before you think about the Mulim, Nami Kula Arla Be'inan Veleka, you have to have only thoughts about Arla, and here you don't only have thoughts about Arla, so the Korban ought to be kosher. Says the Gemara, in attempting to understand this Shita of the Achirim, and what we're going to do in explaining the Gemara is the following. We're first going to explain the Gemara in a very simple way. Hopefully that'll be a way of it'll be enough to understand. And then there's a very long Rashi here that develops how the Gemara gets to where it got to, and we'll mention what Rashi says. There are two things we have to say in the introduction. One is something that we've learned many times. We had a machlokes, Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, about tefos lashon rishon or af gvar dvar of adam nitfas. That means we spoke about the case where somebody makes a tamura, the first animal is kodesh, and he tries to substitute it for another onto another animal, which we know the Torah says you shouldn't do. Somebody went through that process of doing it. The pasuk says v'hayuhu smrasi yekodesh. The first animal remains kodesh, and the second animal is kodesh. But what he said was that the second animal should be yehaza tamurus oila tamurus shlamim. It should be both an oila and a shlamim. So Rameh says tefos lashon rishon. We follow the first statement. Rabbi Yossi says af begvar dvar of adam nitfas. We follow both statements. Now the question is, how far do we take Ramea's shita? Do we follow the first statement? Rava says that when Ramea says that we follow the first statement, we follow it all the way through. No matter what the situation is, we only look at the first statement. Number one. Number two, we know that shchita, kosher, to slaughter an animal, to be kosher, you have to shecht both simonim, the kana and the veshet, the trachea and the esophagus. And there's a machlokes throughout Shas, what does that mean? What does that signify? One Shman Dama holds, yeshnam l'shchit metchil v'atzoif. The entire slaughtering process is all considered shchita. There's another shchita that holds, ye'ein l'shchita el l'psoif. The shchita only takes place in the last second. So says the Gemara, in understanding the Acherim shchita, we're going to hold that number one, that Cherem hold, that Shechita only takes place in the last second. Furthermore, the Cherem hold like Rameya, that we follow the first statement. So in that 1 second, we have to follow what he said first. If he said Mulim first, in that split second, when the Shechita becomes effective, so it's a Korban for Mulim. If he said Arelim first, so it's a Korban for Arelim, and that's why it's possible. That's very simple pshat in the Gemara. Leim kasavri acherim, ein l'shchita el l'psoif. Shchita is only considered shchita at the last moment. Furthermore, could the Rava Adayni Machloikis, that Rameya always says that we follow the first statement under all circumstances. Hilkach, Hig the Mulim La Reilim, if he said Mulim first, Mulim Chayli, so we say it's a carbon for Mulim, Areilim Loi Chayli, and it's not for Areilim, and that's why it's a kosher carbon. Hig the La Reilim La Mulim, on the other hand, if he said Areilim and then a Mulim, Areilim Chayli, so it's to say it's a carbon for Areilim, Mulim Loi Chayli, it's not a carbon for Mulim. So again, this was the short version of explaining the Gemara. Now I'll say the longer version. We referred a moment ago to Rameya and Rabbi Yossi's Machlaikis. What was the case that we always described Machlaikis, Rameya and Rabbi Yossi? Somebody said, Areza Tumuris Oila Tumuris Shlomim. Rameya says we go with the first, and Rabbi Yossi says we follow everything. Why? Because Rameya says, when the person said Areza Tumuris Oila, he meant it should be an Oila. Then he changed his mind, he said, I want it to be a Shlomim, but it's too late to retract. But what's going to be the Halacha if somebody said, Hareza chetzya oila chetzya shlamim. It should be a half oila, half shlamim. There, we know exactly what he meant. There's no room for misinterpretation. Says Abaya, that there, Ramei will agree that we follow both statements. And it'll be half oila, half shlamim. Rava says that even in that case, where it's very obvious what he means, still we say that it's an oila, because once he says it's a chetzya oila, you can't be a half oila, it's either all or nothing. So it becomes a total oila, and then it's too late for it to be a shlam. So Rava proves his point. How does Rava prove his point? The halacha is like this. Pigel, we know that one of the ways a carbon can become possible is through pigel. Pigel is machsheves chutz l'zmanoi, that you intend to eat or offer the carbon after the right time. There's a very interesting halacha regarding pigel. The only time a carbon is considered pigel is if it's only thing that you thought about this carbon, the only incorrect thought was chutz l'zmanoi. But let's say you also had a different invalid machshava, you thought about chutz l'mekaymai also, so the chacham hold that carbon is no longer pigel. And makes no difference according to the chachamim which machshava came first. If chutz l'zmanoi came first, or chutz l'mekaymai came first, the bottom line is, since it wasn't only chutz l'zmanoi, it's not pigel. Rabbi Yehuda says not like that. Rabbi Yehuda says, it matters what comes first or what comes second. Rabbi Yehuda says, yes, if first you had a machshava chutz l'mekaymai, and it's disqualified, but not pigel, and then you think chutz l'zmanoi, that carbon will not be pigel. But if first you had a machshava chutz l'zmanoi, so that carbon got labeled pigel. The fact that afterwards you have another incorrect machshava of chutz l'mekaymai doesn't make a difference. So the Gemara says, what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's psak? The basis for Rabbi Yehuda's psak is tfois loshen rishon. We always follow the first thing that he thought. So if the first thing you thought was chutz l'zmanoi, it's pigel. If the first thing you thought was chutz l'mekaymai, it's not pigel. Says Abaye, so. Now, in the case of pigel, it's a case where both machshavas can live together. Right? So Rava says, you see, even in a case where both machshavas can live together, like chetzya shlomim and chetzya oil and chetzya shlomim, that Rava said, you still say tfois loshen rishon, there you still see that you say tfois loshen rishon, even when both machshavas can live together. Abaya disagrees. Abaya says, you know why over there we could say that both machshavas could live together or not live together? Because when you shecht each simen, it's a separate shechita. You're shechting each simen. So the first simen, you had one machshava, and the second is totally disconnected. So Abaye says, you have no raya. What are you trying to tell me? That both machshavas can live together, and you see even that they can live together, I follow the first one. It's not true. You know why I follow the first one? says Abaya, because they're two separate. It's just like if you had one machshava by the shechita, another machshava by the Kabbalah, the same thing, one machshava by the shechita of the Kana, of the one machshava by the shechita of the Veshit, are two separate things. So Abaya says, Rava, you have no proof that we should say Tfois Lashon Rishon even when the two machshavas can live together. Rava says, that's not how shechita works. Shechita works, there's only one split second. Ein l'shechita el l'psoif. So it's not two separate things. And yet, even though it's not two separate things, Rabbi Yehuda says, Tfois Lashon Rishon. So we see that we always say, Tfois Lashon Rishon. This was the long version of what I said before. But the whole basis of this is believing that Ein l'shechita el l'psoif, which is not necessarily the way we hold. So now we're lacking the cheirim, according to this explanation, and to holding ein l'shechita el l'psoif. Amar Rav Eloi, l'oilam kosav re'cheirim yesh nun l'shechita m'tchilat tzoif. Shechita is not just a split second. It's a long process. If it's a long process, so there's enough time to have both machshavas. If there's enough time to have both machshavas, so why, if you had a reilim before mulim, is a pasul, mulim before a reilim, it's kosher. Hachem Ma'eskin, we're talking about the following situation. Kigon shugomer b'libel tavayu. The person in his mind had a mind to say both. Had a mind for both. Bein l'mulim, bein l'arelim. However, v'hoitzi b'piv, when it came to actually articulating, he only articulated l'arelim. V'lohispik loymel l'mulim, and he didn't have the opportunity to express the word mulim, ad shenish v'tashchita b'arelim. He only said arelim. V'hoplegi. And what is the machlokes remain rabbanon? The only thing that counts is what you said. And since he said arelim, it's no good. Rabbanon savri beinam piv v'libay shavim. We also have to have your heart. So yes, maybe you only said arelim, but you thought mulim. And since you thought mulim, it's already enough to be kosher. So Tosfos makes a few observations. First of all, Tosfos says, if this is pshat in the Gemara, so what does the Braisa have to say if you said mulim before reilim or reilim before mulim? That's not what's relevant. What's relevant is that according to Racheirim, I look at what you said. So the Braisa began, the Shia began today, and makes a difference if you said mulim first or reilim first. That's not the point. The point is, we look at what you said. Tosfos doesn't answer that question. But then Tosfos makes another very important observation, something that we discussed already here. Tosfos says, from here we see that for a carbon to become possible, it's not the thoughts that count, it's what you articulate. It's what you articulate. Now, if you recall, when we spoke about a carbon being possible, we discussed a machlokes harishonim, and we said that Tosfos is the one that holds that a carbon becomes possible based on what you actually say. But then other Rishonim, including Rashi, say we don't just follow what you say, we follow what you think. What are those Rishonim going to do with this Gemara? This Gemara is obvious that you follow what you say. So the Mefarshim say a very deep vort. They say the following. Of course we follow what you think. But let's say somebody only wanted to think. He wanted to think the right thoughts. He wanted to think the wrong thoughts, whatever. So we follow his thinking. But if a person is not relying on his thinking, he's doing much more than relying on his thinking. He's expressing his thoughts. When a person's expressing his thoughts, Rameyer holds, what he's essentially saying is that my thoughts don't count because words are much more than thoughts. And there, everybody agree we follow your words. When is there a sheet that we follow your thoughts? When you didn't carry your thoughts out to expressing them. So we say that thoughts have a significance in halacha. But in a situation where the person decided that I'm not going to rely just on machshava, I'm going to express my machshava, so Rameya holds, we follow your expression and not your thought. And that's why it's not a problem with the man, the omrim that hold, you follow your thoughts. Ask the Gemara, the kesav Rameya loy b'in and piv v'liba v'shavim, does Rameya hold that you only follow his words, not his thoughts? V'rmini, there's a mishnah masechta trumas. Hamskav loyma truma. Somebody said that this pile of produce should be truma. Vama meiser, and he said instead meiser. Or meiser, he said meiser v'ama truma. He wanted it to be meiser, and he said truma. Oish any nichnas lebayze. He wants to make a nether that I'm not going to go into this house. V'ama leze, and he actually expressed the wrong house. Sheni nena leze, or he said that I'm not going into this house. V'ama leze, and instead he expressed another house. Loyam aklum, it's meaningless. Achei piv libav shavim, until what he thought and what he said coincide. So you see, the Ramei does follow his thinking. It's not just his expression, what he said, that counts. So Taisus asks a very significant question. Taisus says that throughout Shas we encounter a concept of Dvarim Shebelev Ein Dvarim. The famous example, Taisus says, is that somebody sells a house because he intends to move to Israel, and then he didn't say that to the buyer, and then for whatever reason his plans get disrupted. He can't say that the sale is not a sale. Because that's what you were thinking. Dvarim Shebelev Ein Dvarim. And here we're saying that Dvarim Shebelev counts. So Taisus says there's a difference between Dvarim Shebelev and a mistake. Dvarim Shebelev, if I didn't say something, so that doesn't have a relevance in halacha. But if I make a mistake, I meant A and I said B, that certainly has a relevance in halacha. Now, Reb Chaim Oizer asks a question. Here the Gemara is asking from Truma Maisa to Pigel. Ask Reb Chaim Oizer, by Truma Maisa, everybody agrees that Machshavu counts. The Mishnah says many times that you could make something Truma Maisa just through designating it with Machshava. So he asks, how's the Gemara asking from Truma Maisa to Kachim? So he says the question is not from Truma Maisa, the question is from the second part, from Neder. Any nichnas labayizeh, and he said the other house. By neder, you certainly have to articulate. That's why the Gemara's question is, you see that here you have to articulate, and by kachim you have to articulate, yet we see different piskei halacha. What is the halacha if somebody meant to say truma and he said maisa? So it's a machlokes rishonim. Some say it's as if nothing happened. Layam akulam, we're back to nowhere. Others say that we follow what you were thinking. And Ram Rattenberg has a very interesting shaila. Reuven asked Shimon to be mekadosh a woman on his behalf. So when Shimon does the kedushin, what's he supposed to say? Hare at mekudeshes l'Reuven. But the person got confused, and he said Hare at mekudeshes li. So the Ram Rattenberg says that to Shimon she's certainly not mekudeshes, because Al Gemara says that if I meant to say this and I said something else, it's meaningless. But now the question is she mekudeshes to Reuven? If you say loy amaklum means as if nothing happened, she's not mekudeshes to Reuven. If you say loy amaklum, we follow what you thought and what you wanted to say, she's going to be mekudeshes to Reuven. El amabaya. So now we still have to understand what Abaya said. Reishid amas simen rishin lemulim. The first case is where the person said that the first simon should be for mulin. The simon sheni and the second simon should also be larelim. So now, when he says af larelim, what does he mean? He means not to exclude mulin. He means that both the first simon should be only mulin, and the second simon should be mulin larelim. The simon sheni nami psich by mulin. So you have a situation that you have mulin and everything, and larelim in some. That's why it's kosher. Sefer dam simen rishon la'reilim. The first simen should only be for reilim. Simen sheni should be for mulim also. There was simen rishon, so in the first simen that I'm cutting, halay p'sicha by meilim, there are no mulim at all involved. V'rameila tamei, and Rameya holds that if there's a psul even in one simen, that's already a psul. Where do we see that? From another halacha and pigel. The halacha is that pigel has, you have to have that machshava of chutz l'zmanoi for something to be pigel. We discussed it already. What's going to be the halacha? You're bringing, this example Rashi uses. You're bringing a carbon mincha. In a carbon mincha, you're supposed to burn two parts. You're supposed to burn the koimitz, the fistful of flour, and you're supposed to burn the levoina. That's the spice. Let's say somebody only had the machshava of chutz l'zmanoi during the burning of the koimitz, not during the burning of the levoina. So Rami says the lawyer it still be pigel. So you see that you don't have to have the machshava, the incorrect machshava, throughout the entire avoida. Even if you have it during part of it, it's already pigel. So here too, even though during the second simon you thought about mulin, but since during the first simon you only thought about a reilim, so just like for pigel it would be enough to be pigel, for Karan Pesach would be enough to be disqualified. And the Chacham hold, no, you have to have the incorrect machshava from the beginning to the end. And here, maybe at the beginning you only thought about a reilim, but since at the end you also thought about mulim, that's going to save the day. The Torah says, "Loisishchat al chometz dam zivchi," that a person is not allowed to have chometz when he brings the Karban Pesach, and that's going to be the subject of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, "Hashoyches a Pesach al chometz, if somebody shechs the Karban Pesach when he owns chometz, over beloisasei, he's over the slav." Even the carbon tamid that's brought on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, if somebody owns chametz when that's being brought, we're over the laugh. Now Tosfos tells us that doesn't disqualify the carbon Pesach. The laugh of leisishkar al chametz dam zivchi you transgress, but the carbon Pesach is still a kosher carbon Pesach. Why? So Tosfos says because we have a rule, we mentioned it, Shina lava kosav l'akev. The only time something is disqualified is the Torah says the rule twice. Since the Torah doesn't say this rule twice, therefore it's not disqualified. But there's a Tosfos in Masechta Temura. The Tosfos in Masechta Temura says that there's a famous Gemara Masechta Temura that speaks about kol milsa da'om rachmona lo savid. Anything the Torah tells you not to do, Iovid Mahani or Iovid Loi Mahani, if what you did is effective or not. And there's a man d'omer that says, Kam milsadom rachmana loy savid, anything the Torah tells you not to do, Iovid, if you did it Loi Mahani, it's ineffective. So as Tosfos, the Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz when you bring the Karban Pesach, so why, if you have chametz, is the Karban Pesach kosher? So Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, the Torah says, Loi sishchat al chametz dam Zifchi, the carbon is called still a zevach. What's the Torah telling us? That even though you did it, and even though you did the aveira, it's still zifchi. It's still a kasher carbon. Now, how much chametz do you have to own to be over this laf? The Minchas Chinuch, Tzfas Emes, both say kazayis. That we compare it to achilas chametz, and just like by achilas chametz, the shear is a kazayis, so too here, the shear will be a kazayis. However, the Michas Chinuch says that the rule that we know of chotzi shear osur min haTorah, that even though midaraisa the shiurim of kazayis, but even less than the shear is osur, will apply here too. All the mefarshim say that here you have to have a kazayis. Without a kazayis, you're not over. Now, Rav Shimon has another version, but let's explain what Rav Shimon says. Rav Shimon says two points to Rav Shimon Shita. One point to Rav Shimon Shita is that you could, on Erev Pesach, you could only transgress the lav of Lo Sishkar al Chametz Dam Zivchi with a Karban Pesach. On Pesach itself, you could be over the lav with other Karbonis. That's one point. And the other point is that the only time you could be over the lav is if the Shchita is a proper Shchita. But if the Shchita is not a proper Shchita, you can't be over the lav. Now let's see Rav Shimon inside. Rav Shimon Aimer, HaPesach Ba'abasa, the Karban Pesach that you're bringing in Erev Pesach, L'shmo, and you're bringing it properly for the sake of Karban Pesach, Chayiv, so you're over the lav. V'shloi L'shmo, but if you bring the Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach, not for the sake of a Karban Pesach, so as we're learning from the beginning of this perek, that will be a disqualified Karban Pesach, it'll be a Shchita Shein Aruya, you won't be over the slav. V'shach Kalos Vachim, other Kabonis, Bein L'shmon, Bein Shloi L'shmon, Potter. On Erev Pesach, you'll never be over the lav by other kabbonis. Ubermoyed, what about on Yontif? Lishma Potter, if you bring the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, for, on during Pesach, I'm sorry, for the sake of being Pesach, which it's a disqualified carbon, because Pesach could only be brought, or carbon Pesach could only be brought in Erev Pesach, you're potter, because it's a shechita shein aruya. Shloi lishma, but if you bring it on Yontif, or Chol Moed, l'shem shlomim, then you'll be chayv, because that's a good shechita. V'shakol osvachim, all other kabbaras, bein lishman, bein l'shloi lishman, whether you brought them on Yontif, on Chol Moed, l'shem what they're supposed to be, or even if you brought them shloi l'shma, but we quoted the first Mishnah Masechet Zvachim that all other kabbonis shloi l'shma are still kosher, so it's a shechita aruya and yechayif chutz menachatis, because we also quoted the Mishnah teaching us in Masechet Zvachim that a carbon chatis shloi l'shma is not kosher, so it'll be a shechita shen aruya, and therefore chatos Sheshach to Shloi Lishma, it's a Shechita Shein Aruya, and Rav Shimon teaches us you won't be Chayiv for Leisishcha Elcham Stam Zivchi on Yontif. Om Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, La'olam Ein Chayiv, you're not Chayiv for this Lav, at Shei Chometz L'Shoichit or L'Zorik, that the person who Shechs the Karim Pesach, or throws the blood of the Karim Pesach, or L'Echad Chabura, or to one of the members of the group, V'at Shei Hi Imai Bazaro. It has to be, the chametz has to be actually with the person in the azara. Otherwise, he's not over the laugh. Rav Yochanan Amar, afapish enima ba'azara. Even though it's not with him in the azara, he still could be over the laugh. Now, there's a big machloikus how to understand Rav Yochanan. It's almost unanimous that if he's in Yerushalayim and his chametz is in Medina Sayyam, that for certain, then he won't be over the laugh. It's also pretty unanimous that if he's in Dazara and his chametz is in Yerushalayim, that he will be over the lav according to Rabbi Yochanan. The question is, if he's in the Azara and his chametz is somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, not in Yerushalayim. Some say that Rabbi Yochanan will still hold that he's chayiv, and others say that Rabbi Yochanan will say only if it's in Yerushalayim, but outside Yerushalayim he won't be chayiv. And that is a very big machlokes Rishonim, exactly who's chayiv. So Rashi says, the entire group. If one member of the group has chametz, the entire group, and the kohen who shechts, and the kohen who zayrik, they're all chayiv. Tosfos holds that only the shoychet, the zayrik are chayiv. The person does the shechita, the person does the zrika. The Rambam holds the person who owns the chametz is chayiv, and everybody else is potter. Now there's another question. We, the Noida Behuda, discusses this. We have a rule throughout halacha of ein shliach ledvar aveira. You can't point the shliach to do an aveira. So here, somebody in this group owns chametz, and he's asking the kohen to shech the korban pesach. So why should he be an effective shliach? Ein shliach ledvar aveira. He's doing an aveira by shechting this korban pesach when somebody owns the korban pesach. So from here, many poskim say that even though we have a rule of ein shliach ledvar aveira, that doesn't change the effectiveness of what he did. What he did is done. It's still halachically effective. There was an aveira done. Others say that when a kohen shechs a korban pesach for a group, he's not acting as a shliach. The kohen is not our shliach. He doesn't work for us. He's acting as in his role as a kohen. When is there a din of ein shliach ledvar aveira? When he's acting as my messenger. He's not acting as my messenger, he's acting as a kohen. So now we said that according to Reish Lakish, the chametz has to be with you in the Azara. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't have to be with you in the Azara. What is the machlokes about? What are they arguing about? Ilayim al basamach kemiflagi. They're arguing when the Torah says, like sishchat al chametz dam zivchi, what does al mean? The shimel lakisava al basamach, it has to be right next to you, and with you in the Azara. Rav Yochanan Savalai bin Al Basamach. Al doesn't mean right next to you. Ask the Gemara for Fliga B'chada Zimna. That machlokes they already had. That's not. The halacha is that when somebody brings a carbon taida, along with the carbon taida, he has to bring lachmim. He has to bring loaves. When somebody designates those loaves as hegdish, they only have a kedushas tamim. They have a mandatory hegdish. Then they could be elevated to Kedushas Haguf. But they can't be elevated to a Kedushas Haguf until you actually shecht the carbon tamid. Now the question is, Hashoichet tamid, you did shecht the carbon tamid lefnim in the azara where you're supposed to shecht it, but the lachma, these loaves, are chutz l'chaima, are not in the azara. So like kiddush alechem, the bread doesn't become kaddish, even though normally as soon as you shecht the carbon taida, the lechem becomes kaddish. Here it doesn't become kaddish. Why? Because you didn't have the breads with you. Now the question is, what is chutz l'chaima? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, chutz l'chaima is beis pagi. Beis pagi is machlokes. Either it's outside the wall of Yerushalayim or outside the wall of the Har HaBayis. Ava chutz l'chaima is azara. If it's now with you in the azara, it could still be kaddish. Why? Because like in al b'samach, according to Rabbi Yochanan, just because the Torah uses the words al by these lachmim, al zevach hatoida chalif, doesn't mean al, doesn't mean right next to you. Rish Lakish Amar, afil chutz l'chaim sa'azara. If the breads are outside the azara, like kaddish, they won't be have kedusha seguf. Why? Because since the Torah uses the word al, and according to Rish Lakish, al ma be'inan al b'samach, it has to be right next to you. So we already have this machlokes. So what's the need to tell it to me again? Says the Gemara, the machlokes is el basra sach fikamiflgi. If asra that's given, but we know that before a person does an avera, in order to him to be considered that he did the avera b'mezid, you have to warn him that you're doing this avera. Now in this situation, this is the way most mafarshim explain this Gemara based on Rashi and Tosfos. When you tell the person, you know, if you have chametz, you're going to be over the lav of leshishchet al chametz dam zifchi. So if he has the chametz with him, he's over the lav, because the hasra is a strong hasra. I see him holding the chametz, and I'm telling him, if you're not going to dispose of the chametz, you're going to be over the lav. But if he doesn't have the chametz with him, so it's never going to be a for sure hasra, because we can never be for sure that he has the chametz. And that's the machloikis. That Rabbi Yochanan holds, you don't have to have, even a hasra sofik is a hasra. And therefore, even though we don't know for sure that he has the chametz, you could still give hasra. And Rish Lakish holds that only if you know for sure. El basra sofik mifki, says the Gemara, bahanami. That's also machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish argued over. The Itmar, we learned the Gemara, Masech the Shavuos. Somebody makes a Shavuos, I'm going to eat this loaf of bread today. And the day passed and he didn't eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish Tamer Tavai and Eloika. Everybody agrees that he won't get Malkus for transgressing his Shavuos. The only question is why. Rabbi Yochanan and Eloika, Shandavale Lav Sheba Maisa. He didn't actively do something. He just didn't do something. He didn't eat. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "V'chol lav she'ein by ma'isa, ein loikin alav." But the fact that it was a sra sofik, when the person makes the shvua, and I tell him, "If you're not going to eat, you're going to be over the shvua," that's not for sure, because I can't know for sure what's going to happen in the course of the day. That isn't a problem for Rabbi Yochanan, because he holds a sra sofik shma sra. Rish Lakish holds, ain't a loike, he agrees that he doesn't get Malkus, but he holds he doesn't get Malkus, shum davalei asra sofik, vasra sofik, loishma asra. Av lav she'en b'maisa, the fact that it's a lav she'en b'maisa, loike n'alof. So again, if that's the basis of the machlokes here, why the chametz has to be with you in the azara, that's also nothing new. So the Yerushalmi asks, we have now two approaches in understanding Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish machlokes. Either it has to do if the word al means besamach, or does it has to do with asra sofik. What's the practical difference, the halachic nafkamina, between these two approaches? So the Yerushalmi says like this. Let's say somebody's going to be standing in the azara, but his chametz is now with him in the azara, but you could see it right outside the azara. So if you learn pshat is that al, that the only time you're over the lav is besamach when the chametz is with you, so he's not over, the chametz is not with you in the azara. If the point is that you have to be able to give him a hasra to know for sure that he's being over the lav here, even though it's not with you in the azara, but the fact that it's visible, you could give him the hasra. The Sfas Emes takes this a step further. He says like this: the person who owns the chametz maybe I can't give him a hasra because I don't know what he has or doesn't have, but he knows what he has. So if the thing is because it's with him in the Azara, it's not with him in the Azara. But if the thing is because of Asra, yes, I can't give him Asra, but he's still over the lav, if he for himself knows that he has the chametz. But we were up to in the Gemara. You may never get Malchus in this because it's a lav shei b'maisa. I'm not talking about Malchus, I'm talking about the lav. Now, so we were up to is, we had the machlokes of Yoicher and Shlokish. Does the chametz have to be with you in the Azara or not? And we said two possible explanations for this machlokes. Either if the word al means that it has to be with you, or it has to do with asra sofik. And the Gemara's question is, both of these machlekes we already learned. Says the Gemara, Amri la'olam al besomach kamifki. The machlekes revolves about, does al mean with you or not? Does it have to be with you in the Azara? But then the question was, we already learned this by the Karban Taida. Answer the Gemara tzrichi. We need to have the machlekes another time. If they only had the machlokes regarding chametz, have a minute about who the kamer Rabbi Yochanan deloy bein in al besamach. There, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't require that the chametz should be actually with you in the Azara. Why? Mishum de isahu. Chametz is something that's aser. Because heichad isi isi. It makes no difference if it's with you in the Azara or it's something somewhere else. Avl inyan mekadish lechem. In order that the lechem, the chalas that are brought with the carbon taida, like kadosh ela b'fnim, unless they're in the azara, there emi ma'adler shlokish the beinan al b'samach. That for the chalos to become kadosh, they have to be in the azara. Dec gavoi, if they're in the azara, kadosh eloi. If they're not in the azara, loy kadosh. Midi dahava. Where do we find this concept? A klisharis. By the klisharis. So Rashi explains that for something to become kadosh, it has to be actually put into the klisharis. If it's not in the klisharis, it's not kadosh. Taisa says the pshat in the Gemara is klisharis, something put into klisharis becomes kadosh, but it's only kadosh if the klisharis are in the Azara. If you put something into the klisharis, but the klisharis won't be in the Azara, it won't be kadosh. So you see, just like for the klisharis to do what they have to do, they have to be in the Azara, so too for the chalois to become kadosh, they have to be in the Azara. That's why tzricha. We have to add the machloikis both by chalois taida and by chametz. If we only said the machlokes regarding the lechem, haven't been a behach kamer shlokish dinim al besamach. It has to be right there. These gavoy kaddish. If it's in the Azara, they become kedushas aguf. The chalois eloi loy kaddish. They don't get a kedushas aguf. Avlin in chametz, maybe moy delay le Rabbi Yochanan. The loy bein al besamach. You don't have to have a rabbi. This suruhu because we're dealing with iser. The kol heicha the isi isi. That's why tzrichu, we have to add a machloikas in both cases. Continues the Gemara. Ba'inai Reb Oishim Reb Ami. Ein lo l'shoichet. The shoichet doesn't own chametz. V'yesh lo l'echad m'nei chabura. But one of the people of the group has chametz. Mahu. Amalei. So he responded to him. Mi siv l'shishchar al chemtzcha. The Torah doesn't speak to the shoichet and say, you not our own chametz. L'shishchar al chametz k'siv. As long as this chametz, Yechayif. Omalei. So he said to me, Yehocha, I feel Echa B'Soyfa Oilem Nami. And like Rashi explains, Echa B'Soyfa Oilem means even if somebody who's not in the group, if there's any Jew in the world that owns Chametz, we should be over the laugh. Omalei. Yehocha, I feel Omalei. Amakrua le Sishchet v'layolin. The Torah juxtaposes the Isser of Shechting the Karban Pesach when you own Chametz and leaving the Karban Pesach overnight. Le Sishchet Al chametz hainach the kaimel mishum layolin. Only a person who would be over the lav of keeping the chametz, the Pesach overnight, can be over the lav. But if a person has no relationship to this carbon, he won't be over the lav of a layolin, and therefore the fact that he owns chametz will not be relevant to being over the lav. Before we end the shir, the Shagas Aryeh asks a question. He says that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that you could always do bittel, and you won't own the chametz. So he says, how could somebody ever be over the lav? Even if he's sitting with the chametz in his hands, in the Azara, and I give him a hasra, maybe he'll say, I did bittel.
You're asking how the hasra
How's ever Asra good? Even if he's sitting in the Azara with the Chametz, holding it in his hands, he'll say, I did Bittul. And Bittul, we know, makes that halacha you don't own the Chametz. Even if it's in his hand. Even if it's, oh. So the Shagas Aryeh says two terutzim. One terutz, the Shagas Aryeh says, that Bittul doesn't work after Chatzos. So here the Karban Pesach is brought after Chatzos, it's too late to do Bittul. Another terutz, he says, is Bittul only works on Chametz that you own. But let's say you're holding chametz that you don't own, but you're responsible for. You're not allowed to have that chametz. We spoke that you're over by your raw by your matzah, but you can't do bittul because it's not yours. The Pnei Yeshua says that the Rambam holds that bittul only works on chametz that you don't know about. So if you don't know about the chametz and you say bittul, it's effective. But if you're holding chametz and you say I'm doing bittul, the bittul is ineffective. The Prima Gadim says a very interesting teretz. He says, what are we saying here? That there's somebody standing with chametz in his hands, and I go over to him and tell him you're going to be over the lav if you you continue holding this chametz. What are we concerned, says the Prima Gadim, that he was mevatlet? Says the Prima Gadim, if he was mevatlet, he should have told you that he was mevatlet. He should have said, I'm not being over the chametz, I was mevatlet. The fact that he didn't respond to you that he was mevatlet is a proof that he wasn't mevatelit, and that Asra is considered a legitimate Asra, and he's over the lav. Asra, and he's over the lav.